Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
I'm Brock Martin.
I'm Joe Fenner.
This time,
this is part two of Divorce, specifically titled How to Not Get Divorced. We're back with Joey Ponarelli, founder of the Apostolate Restored Ministry. We are so excited to have Joey back. In the first episode, we really hit on a lot of practicals, theoreticals on how divorce has impacted us. And this was Brock's idea, so I'm going to pass the torch to him, and he's going to take us through where we're going to go today.
It's his good idea, so.
Yeah, no kid, no pressure. No, as we were diving in last episode, Joey, I think this is such a relevant topic for, unfortunately, so many guys, because this is such a big part of our society and culture. And I think in the last episode, we talked a lot about the effects of divorce, what that can do for somebody. We even ended the last episode talking a little bit about, you know, if you're in a situation where you are divorced and you've got kids and what are some best practices and things to avoid. I really want this episode to be like, hey, for all of our listeners who are not yet married or maybe preparing for marriage or just married, or maybe some of those guys who have been married for a little while and possibly struggling, how do we not get divorced? Like in all of your work and the men that you're walking with, how do we avoid that terrible scourge of divorce in our relationships, in our marriages? And so maybe we can start with guys who are maybe getting ready for marriage or maybe aren't married yet. What are some things that they should have their eyes on? Because nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, gosh, when I get married, I'm probably going to get divorced. Everybody who gets married thinks that it's going to be forever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the day of their wedding, right? They're in the ceremony, and I don't care if it's Catholic or Protestant or whatever. No one thinks they're going to be one of the ones to get divorced. And yet now we're over half of marriages get divorced, right? And so what happens between them? I know we're going there, but let's talk about the guys right now who are in, Brock, I think you said it, a serious dating relationship or engaged. How can they prepare now before they get married, before that day on the altar, to address this?
No, it's an excellent question, and I probably will end up deferring to you guys. I think all of you have been married more than I have, but no, what the church, I'm happy to share what the church teaches. I'm happy to share what psychological research shows, and then also just lessons that I've seen in really beautiful married couples. Like, how do you build a really beautiful, happy marriage? And so the first one is, it's so simple, right? It sounds like it's almost not even helpful how simple it is, but that is to build virtue, because if you want a great marriage, that has nothing to do with your relationship. At the start, it has everything to do with you. Why is that? Because you, and eventually your spouse, are the lid on your marriage. Your marriage will only be as healthy, happy, and holy as each of you are individually. And so what I've noticed in the great marriages I've been blessed to kind of study and walk with is the more virtuous the spouses, the happier the marriage. The more virtuous the spouses, the happier the marriage. Always. Like, there's no exceptions to that. And so, like we talked about in the last episode, like building virtue and the catechism's framework of, you know, education, deliberate acts, perseverance in those acts, and God's grace is like super, super helpful. But we need to be very intentional about, you know, building virtue. The second thing I'd mention is you kind of win the game in the draft. Like, you win the championship in the draft. Like, pick an awesome spouse, pick a virtuous spouse. And some of the virtues that, you know, are so important to marriage, of course, is like someone who's living the virtue of chastity. Why is this so important? We hear a lot about the virtue of chastity. Why is it so important? Because at the core of chastity is self-mastery. And you guys, you know this so well as married men, is like, you need self-mastery within marriage. You need to be able to deny what you want to do what's good for your spouse and your family. It's also so important because lust will destroy your marriage. Like, we should all be under no illusion that once we put on these rings, that our temptations are going to disappear. They don't. They're still there. In fact, they might even get more intense in some ways. And so that's finding someone who's, you know, living the virtue of chastity is huge. Finding someone who's humble, you know, humility is obviously the foundation of all the virtues, but someone who is humble is going to just help in your marriage, because you'll be able to, you know, forgive and apologize when you do something wrong. We talked a little bit about finding someone with a growth mindset. I think this is so important because, again, a growth mindset is just the belief that you can change and you can grow. And the opposite of that is a fixed mindset, belief that you can't change and you can't grow. And I think this is so important because one of the best, because you don't just marry the person that they are today, you marry the person that they will become. And one of the greatest indications of who they will become is their actions and attitude towards growth. And so I think you want to find someone like that. So there's a few other things I'd like to say, but I want to throw it over to Steve.
Joey, I just saw a stat come across my Twitter feed today that the Denver Broncos no longer have a single player from their 2020 draft. And we have been a terrible football team for the last 4 years. And so your statistic rings true to me because the Denver Broncos are terrible right now. That the championship is won in the draft. I love that line, pick a good spouse. And it makes so much sense, oh my gosh, because I think so often we want to pick a spouse who is fun or super attractive or likes all the things that we like. And instead, what I hear you saying, what you said was pick a spouse who's virtuous. And I think we said this even on a previous podcast, that if you are struggling with pornography or masturbation or any sexual sin, you are not in the state to get engaged. You are not ready. And I think what you just said is the same thing, because we're the team that's kind of drafting. We're the men. We're the one proposing. We're asking the woman to marry us. But we also have to be ready to go through that. The other thing I've heard, and I want to hear what you think about this, and then I'll punt it to Thomas after this one, is someone once said to me that if you're having sex out of marriage, you'll have sex out of marriage. And so if you are in a sexual relationship with your girlfriend or fiance, you're not ready to get married. You need a certain period of time where you can embrace chastity and figure that out before you go to the altar. What are your thoughts on that? And does that play a role in adultery or divorce?
Absolutely. I remember just what Jason Everett says about this. He's like, you know, pornography, masturbation, like having sex outside of marriage is like the perfect way to, you know, shoot your future marriage in the head, because it doesn't prepare you to love and sacrifice, which we all know we're made for. And even, you know, maybe men who are far from that right now, we know that the men in our life and the heroes through the stories that we admire are all men like that. They're not the womanizers, they're the men who know how to sacrifice. You know, think of any great movie, whether it's Gladiator or Batman or, you know, any other movie like Braveheart, like those men have this ability to deny maybe what they want and do what's best for the people that they love. And so, yeah, Jason, obviously all of his content speaks to this so much more eloquently than I can. But one of the crazy statistics that I've seen when it comes to, like, you know, living together before marriage, which would kind of go along with what we're talking about here with, you know, sleeping together before marriage, is that there's been all this research done on this topic. You just Google a lot of this. And they found that, you know, you're 50 to 80% more likely to get divorced if you live together before, you know, the wedding. And so it's just kind of mind-boggling that they could have such a big impact. And so the challenge here, I think, for any men who maybe feel a bit convicted by this is, even if you've made mistakes, like, I get that, get to confession and start anew. Get someone in your life, in your corner, who can hold you accountable, who you can share. Like, I used to do this when I was dating and engaged. I would call up one of my buddies, and once a week, I'd report to him like how the week went when it came to purity in my relationship with my, you know, girlfriend, now wife, through all that. And that was super, super helpful just to be transparent and have someone that I was answering to. So yeah, I would say that those are the main things. But yeah, it's chastity is not just this thing that is unimportant. It's so essential that, you know, we can truly destroy a marriage before it even starts if we just get in this mode of using people. It's not going to get you very far within marriage.
Joey, what about guys that are maybe newly married or been in marriages that did come from divorced home? They've worked through the fear to get married, so they're in that. But what should they be looking for that could lead them down the wrong way? You know, and maybe this is too obvious and I'm stupid, but we learn a lot from also the mistakes people make, right? And so are there compartments or categories that typically lead people down divorce that's helpful, besides the fact that we just need to be more virtuous and be chaste? 100%, that's brilliant. But guys are already in it. Maybe they're struggling with that. Maybe they're hopefully heading towards virtue because they're good men. If they're listening to this, I'm sure they are. But are there other things just to be attentive to that might send them on the path that they witnessed when they were kids?
Yeah, absolutely. There's researchers have found this. I don't know this research super well, but they found that there's like four areas that it's really important to be on the same page with when it comes to your spouse. And the focus inventory that you go through as an engaged couple kind of is themed around this. But you have being on the same page in your relationship with God is super important, like what you believe and how you express that belief. Parenting is super important, like how many kids you want to have and how you're going to raise them. Money, being on the same page with money. I mean, gosh, so many marriages struggle because they're not on the same page with that. And then finally, in-laws, like knowing how to set up, you know, boundaries. And I think Father Mike has talked about intimacy too, like being on the same page when it comes to sex and intimacy. That's really, really big. And so I would say, yeah, make sure you're on the same page in those four areas. If you're not, keep working through those things and know that, yeah, there's, I think, a lot of hope. But if you are dating someone who's like an atheist and you're a devout Catholic, like you're gonna have a lot of struggles. I remember talking with one of my friends and she was dating this guy who just, you know, was totally in a different realm when it came to relationship with God. And I, you know, just sat down with her. I'm like, fast forward 5 years. Are you, you know, it's Sunday morning, you're taking the kids to church, he doesn't want to come with you. Like, is that what you want your life to be like? And so I think it's important to pay attention to those things. But yeah, when it comes to, you know, just looking at your parents' marriage, I would just say, you know, what did you observe? Like, what were some of the things that went wrong and how do you want to do that differently? And I think that could even be a good like exercise for prayer, you know, meditation of like, okay, you know, these are the things that went wrong. For example, in my parents' marriage, they handled conflict very poorly. They would be the first ones to tell you that, by the way. I never really saw it resolved well. And so I felt very lost in my own relationships, even my own marriage, when it came to resolving conflict. And the thing that I've learned is like conflict's actually a skill that you can become competent on. Like you can learn how to resolve that. And so this is some of the things of like recognizing, you know, what went wrong there and how you might be able to rewrite that story. Because like we said before, we are kind of programmed to go down a similar path, to repeat what we saw, what we observed. It's kind of baked into our subconscious. And so we really need to, bring those things to the surface. I think it was, I'm trying to remember which psychologist it was, Carl Jung. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not like endorsing the guy, but he has this amazing quote. He says, until you make the subconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. And so I think it's so important that we just kind of bring that stuff to the surface and kind of counteract, you know, fight against, build virtues around those areas that maybe we saw our parents fail.
I love that you mentioned in-laws as one of the four areas. It reminds me of a joke that Pope Francis originally told about this son-in-law whose mother-in-law falls into a pit with a bunch of alligators, and the son-in-law thinks, oh man, those poor alligators. And I shared that joke with my mother-in-law. She didn't think it was super funny. Bernadette, I love you. You're a great mother-in-law. Joey, I'd love to ask you, what about guys who are currently married? And maybe they're experiencing some pretty significant struggles, whether it be with differences in faith or parenting. I'm also thinking like finances, sexual struggles, or, you know, any of this stuff that we're kind of mentioning. How can guys who are currently on the rocks, who are looking at their marriages saying things are not great, like what are some steps that they can take to begin to start that process of full reconciliation and to get their marriage at least on the trajectory of thriving?
Yeah, that's a good question. Two things I'd mention. One, I'd say there's this phenomenon called the Paris syndrome. Maybe you guys have heard of this. It's where when tourists go to Paris, France, they suffer extreme shock, disappointment, and other symptoms. And this is not a joke. Like, it's been documented by medical journalists. And basically what's happening is that the romantic expectations that they had for Paris, France, didn't live up to the messy reality of it. And so they were just like hit in the face with disappointment. And I think that can often happen in marriage too, where if we have all these kind of like fairy tale romantic expectations for our marriage, when we're in it and things don't go the way we had imagined they would go, which I've seen with a lot of people who come from broken families, we kind of want the exact opposite of what our parents had. And so we tend to idolize marriage. It's a dangerous thing. And so I think that, you know, one area especially where this comes out is just believing that the purpose of marriage is happiness. The purpose of marriage is not happiness. The purpose of marriage is holiness. Nowhere in the wedding vows is happiness promise. And I know that sounds like super unromantic, but it's true. And it's so important. Fulton Sheen wrote about this. It's so important that we talk about this, because what I've seen is like underneath almost every divorce is this belief that consciously or not, we expect our spouse to make us perfectly happy. And when they don't, we tend to think, man, maybe I married the wrong spouse. Maybe I even chose the wrong vocation. We might even be tempted to leave. And so I think your marriage will suffer to the extent that you expect your spouse to be you know, to fulfill you, to make you perfectly happy. And, you know, I think that we need to really understand that marriage is hard work. It's not going to show up in, you know, a prime box on your doorstep. It takes a lot of hard work. It's more like farming. You know, it's it takes years to see the fruit of your labor. And so I would say that taking that, kind of shifting your expectations, understanding it's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, is a really good and beautiful thing. And I can touch on the second point in a second.
No, why don't, Joey, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead on the second point.
No, you're totally fine. So I was going to say the other thing is ask for help. I think the biggest reason that marriages fall apart is they don't ask for help, or they ask for help too late. And there's a lot of great resources out there that can help, you know, whether it's a good, competent Catholic therapist. You know, I'm a big fan of the Alexander House. If you haven't heard of them, the Alexander House, Greg and Julie Alexander, were just in a horrible spot in their own marriage. They were cheating on each other. Their marriage was like on its last string. It all came to light. It blew up in their face. And they met with a priest to actually pursue the divorce and annulment route. And he really challenged them. He said, you know, before you go down this route, I just want to ask you to research a bit, like, what's the purpose of marriage? When God invented this thing, what did he have in mind? And through that process, you know, their marriage was, thankfully rescued, and they saved their kids a lot of heartache. And so now they help married couples, struggling married couples, and they've helped 5,000 couples over the past 20 years, and their success rate, believe it or not, is 98% at keeping the marriage together.
Wow.
And so, you know, ask for help, hit up people like that. There's other resources I'm sure that you guys can recommend or people have heard of as well. So that's the other thing I'd say.
So Joey, on the topic of resources, I was going to say the Gottman Institute, I don't refer to them. They're a secular, but they have a lot of really good practical stuff that I've found is really good for married couples. Again, they're secular, so I don't know where they're on moral and sexual stuff, but they have some really good practical things for married couples. But I also wanted to point to your website, restoredministry.com, and you have a couple courses. One is designed for folks whose parents were divorced. And tell us a little bit about kind of what that course does, how it guides people.
Yeah, no. So we partner with a trauma therapist. She's a Catholic trauma therapist. She's been treating trauma for like almost 20 years now. And so that course is, it's called Broken to Whole. And it's all about, you know, what is trauma? You know, how does it affect us on different levels, our mind, our emotions, our body, or even our soul, our relationships? And what can you do about it? Like, how can you heal it? How can you, you know, better navigate your emotions and things like that? And so that that course, again, was talked by this trauma therapist, Margaret. And so that's basically it. It's free. It's a 2-hour course. They're broken into videos of like 3 to 5 minutes. And, you know, it's all free. It's all something that y'all can get if you'd want to.
And so on that, Joey, for anyone, if you're not in a relationship, if you're married, if your parents went through divorce, go check out the course. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It can help you at any stage. And you know, whether you feel super broken or not, I would say that in your future, when you get into new chapters in life, what I've seen is like your brokenness tends to surface. And so it's really helpful, even if you're not facing like immense struggles right now, to just, again, kind of get in that awareness stage of like, okay, what I went through was trauma and I want to heal from it. And these are some things that I can do, practical things that I can do. And that's what the course walks you through.
Joey, I love that you mentioned the Paris syndrome and this like idealized imagination that marriage is just there to make us happy. And I think a lot of men, particularly in our Western modern culture, can definitely be susceptible to that. And it reminds me of there's a quote in Gaudium et Spes that says that man cannot find himself except through a sincere gift of himself. And I do think that a lot of marriage is, you know, is ultimately rooted in how much are we willing to make a gift of ourselves, to die to our desires, to die to maybe the things that feel good for the sake of others. Some people that have asked me for advice in the past, I mean, I've kind of given them the advice of, hey, find little ways to start practicing mortification, little things that you can give up, little things to make yourself uncomfortable, to kind of like flex that muscle. So like if you're in a marriage that's struggling, to be able to you know, start doing some little things that are uncomfortable for the sake of making your marriage better. Is that advice in line with what you would say? Am I out in left field? How would you respond to that?
No, I love that advice. And I would say too, the people around you will either take you up or bring you down, right? You know, I've heard people say like friends are like elevators. They either take you up or take you down. I think it's so true. And I think if you're surrounded by good marriages and families and good, you know, men in your life, it's going to help you and challenge you to be that man that you want to be. Because we're not meant to live in isolation. I know in America we have this individualism that, you know, there's maybe some perks to it, but all in all, like, that's not the way we're meant to live. We're meant to live in community, and so we need those relationships with each other. And so, yeah, that's been one of the most helpful and healing things by far, as I've mentioned in the past, is just being surrounded with good marriages and families and other men that you look up to who can challenge you to grow. And, you know, I've had some amazing men in my life who, again, they've been there with me through the hard times, and they've even challenged me when maybe I was off. And that was, like, so helpful, and I, you know, value those relationships to this day. So, no, I would totally agree with what you said.
Joey, again, such a great topic, and unfortunately, we're running out of time yet again on part two. But you mentioned earlier, and this episode's called "How to Not Get Divorced" for the guys who might be kind of on that cusp, going through things. You mentioned go see a therapist. What are a few practicals you could leave any listener with who might be struggling in marriage? Divorce keeps entering their mind. What advice would you give them as we wrap up?
I would echo Jocko Willink's advice, the Navy SEAL commander, who says, you know, he wrote that book, Extreme Ownership. It's so helpful in, like, the leadership realm. But I mean, as a man, of leader of your family, leader of your marriage, like, take ownership. And this is something I struggle with at times in my own marriage. But it's so easy to look at our spouse and just point at them and say it's all their fault, or they are the majority of the problem, or whatever. I would say, you know, take ownership. Even if you maybe didn't cause all the problems, you can take ownership of the solution. And like we were saying before, I think one of the greatest measures of, you know, the health of a marriage is the virtuousness of the spouses. And so if you can't force your spouse to be virtuous, you can influence them and help them to be virtuous, but really just looking interiorly and working on yourself. And so, you know, build the virtue, take ownership of your piece of the pie. There's a great book called Impossible Marriages Redeemed. It was written by a friend of mine, Layla Miller. She's a Catholic author. Impossible Marriages Redeemed. The subtitle is They Didn't End the Story in the Middle. And so I would say that's a great book. It features 50 stories of marriages that were just on the brink of disaster. And some of them even went through divorces, and there were just horrible things like abuse and infidelity and all these things that you would think could never be rescued from. But they, by God's grace, down the road, it took a lot of time, they were able to actually come back together and build really beautiful marriages. So I think hearing those stories can be really, really helpful as well. But one of the things I would say when it comes to, like, healing your own trauma and things you've been through, reflecting on your story is incredibly powerful. So the awesome podcast, The Place We Find Ourselves, Adam Young's out by you guys in Colorado. He runs this awesome podcast. He's a therapist. And one of the things he says is, like, each of us has a story as if it were a novel or a movie. And to engage your story means to reflect on it in an active, constructive way. And neurobiologists have actually found that act of reflecting on your story in an active way actually makes your brain healthier. If you think of your brain as like a connection of webs, it increases neural connectivity, that act of reflecting on your story, thereby making your brain healthier, thereby making you healthier and more whole. Another step you can take in that direction is just sharing your story with someone who can receive it with empathy. And again, neurobiologists have found that it makes your brain healthier and more whole. And so that's, I think, a great first step for all of us, is to think through just the different things we've been through in our life, the plot twists, the wounds that we've received, the people who played a big role in our life and maybe, you know, lifted us up or maybe put us down, and just see what imprint that left on us and maybe how it's affecting us today. Because again, like we talked about before, there's so much that's below the surface that we never put our finger on. We don't connect the dots. And as a result, we end up kind of acting as if we're this younger self, because that's the effect of trauma. It kind of keeps us stuck in the past, and we act as if that thing were still happening, that trauma. And so the goal of trauma therapy and healing is to put that in the past, to close that chapter and to move on with our life, which is totally possible. I've seen so many examples of it, and it's possible for you too.
Joey Pontarelli again of Restored Ministries. Holy cow. This has been so much fun. If you speak on anything outside of divorce, we'd love to have you back. So give us a topic and we'll make something up. You are just incredible, and you're doing a great job out there. Praise be to God. Thank you for all you're doing. Again, guys, if you are a victim of divorce of parents, or if you're struggling with something, get help, because these are not easy topics to talk about or to go through. So go check out Joey's ministry, Restored Ministries. Joey, thanks so much for joining us again, and we'd love to have you back. That's it for the Man Catholic Podcast. We'll catch you next time. God bless.